Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give it to me.
Oh, hello, everyone. It is Molly Wood here.
And Tom Merritt.
That song always gets me going. Welcome to It's a Thing, our weekly podcast about stuff that has caught our attention, sometimes equally caught the attention of prestigious news outlets or other people on the internet. Mm. But either way, we have deemed them worthy of discussion, and we bring them to you and lay them at your feet like a rat caught by a cat.
Mm, you had me at stuff.
Not so gross, though. Not
but
gross.
You really had me with laying things at my feet. My cat used to lay crawdads at my feet.
Until I made it like a dead animal.
It's always a dead animal, though.
Yeah, it is. And damn it, now this metaphor is horrible. We have not brought you dead animals. We have brought
you live
animals today.
These animals are living, breathing, cute, ready to be adopted. Please.
Yes, definitely not.
Spay and neuter your things.
Dragged under the bed in... torn apart.
Wow.
Okay.
We have gone to the heights and lows in just this intro, I feel.
I need to stop ad-libbing the intro. Like, maybe it's time to write one down, because
You were doing great. It was an excellent intro.
Thank you.
We overthought it, yeah.
Until it got to the... Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to say it again, because we're just going. Huh. Okay, so let's see. Last week, we did this awesome show because both of us had gone out into the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I am so curious to see what's going to happen now that we have returned to our respective basements.
Well, I don't know if this informs my things, to be honest, but I can report that I went out to Pi twice with friends this week.
Excellent.
And went to Korean barbecue with friends as well.
Oh, fun.
So okay, I did a lot more leaving the house than usual.
I'm very impressed.
And I went and saw Us, the movie.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to say now that I also haven't seen the other one because I'm a giant chicken.
Oh, what's Get
the
Out.
Other one? Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
I started to watch it. I was like, it's the middle of the day. It's a Saturday afternoon. This movie's on the woke list. Like, I have to watch it so I know what's happening. And I chickened out. Almost immediately. And there is no chance I'm going to Us because even the commercials scare the crap out of me.
Here is the thing. It is jump scares, right? And it's got some creepy stuff. But it honestly was not as scary to me as some other movies. Like, you know, it's not like The Ring or anything like that. Because it's got some humor in it. I mean, it's Jordan Peele. He let his humor out for a walk. And it's got some good funny moments. In it because he wrote, produced, and directed it. He's not in it, but he wrote, produced, and directed it. So there's some tension breaking moments. And I, when I'm leaving, I was like, oh, you know, that was scary in parts, but overall it wasn't bad. And Eileen, my wife, says, no, that was scary.
Yeah. See, exactly. Everything that you just said just told me that you are not a chicken and you cannot understand the horror, no pun intended.
Horror movies have never. Poor movies will bore me before they really, truly frighten me.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm like a...
jump scares. This. Jump scares will get me. I'll jump. I'll yell. Be like, whoa, that got me. And then I'll laugh. Mm-hmm.
You'll play along.
Yeah,
no, yeah. I will have to like run into the house when it's dark outside and I just got home because I'll be scared that a monster is going to literally swoop down from the roof and get me because of some movie that I watched when I was like 12.
Do you know my movie rating scale?
No.
I developed this organically because I would just, words would come into my head as I would watch movies. And I created this scale. It's only 8 long. It's not 10. It starts in the at the bottom with I walked out. I've only walked out on one movie. It was Sister Act. Then there's awful, bad, fine. Fine is like the top of the not good. It's the bottom, okay. Top of the bottom four. And that's where I really created this movie scale because I was like, nah, it was fine. you know, which means I don't really love it. Then good, great, amazing, mind blowing. Us is amazing.
That is, you've got a lot of layers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And good. I like that though, because it's good to be specific about that.
Well, and these words will come to me naturally while I'm watching it. I was watching Captain Marvel and I was like, partway through, I'm like, this movie's fine. And then, and then it brought it home at the end. I was like, no, that was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
Because those words will just come unbidden into my mind while I'm watching movies.
I'm on spring break this coming week, and Captain Marvel is on my list.
I think you'll have fun watching it. I won't go into the problems that I did have with it, but it's good.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm going to see it either way.
Oh, yeah. No, it's worth seeing. Absolutely.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not my thing, though.
kick us off with your actual thing while I send my child the Netflix password.
For the entire time that I've known Molly Wood, I think I can legitimately say this. For the entire time that I've known Molly Wood, I've been a Jonathan Coulton fan.
Because that is so true.
I discovered Jonathan Coulton when he was doing his thing a week. And that was when we were first working at CNET, like 2005.
Yeah.
So I still love Jonathan Coulton. Jonathan Coulton did a great Kickstarter recently where he's like, you know what I love? Sensitive songs from the 70s. So I'm going to faithfully cover them, produce an album. In fact, guess what? I already did it. I just need you to pay for it because I wanted to do it anyway. So he Kickstarted it. I bought it. I got the second from the top, which is you get the digital downloads, you get the signed stuff, and you get the LP. And that's what I really wanted. I wanted the LP because the LP is this double album, and the cover, it's called Some Guys because it's sensitive 70s songs. And it's a homage to the Rolling Stones Some Girls album cover. And then the vinyl is like all the 70s tie-dye kind of patterns printed in the vinyl. It's gorgeous, gorgeous vinyl. Great songs. The songs are just all those 70s songs like On and On and Sister Golden Hair that you just kind of relax and be like, oh, man, yeah, that's cool. It's cool to be sensitive 70s guy. So I get the album.
You're cracking me up. Yep.
I put the album on. I'm listening to my sensitive 70s guy music. And I'm like, Jonathan Coulton, you're the best. This is great. I'm enjoying myself. And as I'm putting one of the albums away, the little card comes fluttering out that's like, oh, your digital downloads, here they are. And I look at it and I'm like, I don't know if I care. I just don't know if I care about the digital downloads. I know responsibly I paid for them. I should go download them and then I'll have them. But with Spotify and Apple Music and all of this, like his songs are going to be on there and I own the vinyl. So I own a physical copy. I just don't know if I care about digital downloads anymore.
Interesting. Yeah, I could see that. I think certainly rental culture is a thing. You know, the idea of not owning any digital media. And I remember my dad being like completely blown away by the existence of Spotify.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that, and just saying to me specifically, he was like, anything you want is just here. I don't have to like remember what iPod it's on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, have it trapped on a hard drive somewhere. I can just get it and have it accessible. No, that makes a ton of sense. And I will say, like, if you're in it for the physical media in particular, like you bought the vinyl.
Right.
My son bought a record player.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's huge.
I mean, vinyl's been a thing, but that's ratcheting it up.
I will say, actually, my favorite part about his record player is he doesn't own any records. He didn't buy any records. He just got the record player because it looks super cool. And it has.
Do you have records that he could play on it?
No. I don't have any records.
Oh, funny.
But it has Bluetooth. So, this is maybe my favorite part. He can stream Bluetooth music to his record player, and then it looks like hecka hip.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a record player there, Buzz.
And if a record comes along, well, hey, he could play
it. So much the better.
Yeah.
Well, now I can at least tell his parents or his grandparents, you know, like, oh, birthday time is coming.
Right, right.
Get that thing.
Maybe get him Some Guys by Jonathan Coulton.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome. I had not thought, I'm having such a delightful flashback. Like, I had not thought of Jonathan Coulton in years. And that is such a special Tom thing. I love it.
It's great. And it's the kind of thing too, where like his brand of humor and sensibility is so right up my alley that like, I'm like, oh yeah, of course. No, these are great. Like, this is way better than Yacht Rock. This is the best.
Yacht Rock. Speaking of musicians who are awesome, who I've loved for a long time, and then also simultaneously the kind of wonderfulness that is Twitter. Today on Twitter, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm just like so excited that I can't believe this happened because I lived long enough for this to occur. They Might Be Giants followed me on Twitter today.
Is it because Paul retweeted you?
Yeah.
I wonder.
Or one of them did.
Paul. Oh, no, it was Storm.
Wait, who's Paul? It was Storm.
Paul and Storm retweeted you today. I noticed. I was like, oh, look, Paul and Storm, my friends, tweeting my other friend. That's great. And Paul and Storm know They Might Be Giants because Paul and Storm are friends with Jonathan Colton. Jonathan Colton toured with They Might Be Giants. I think they've all played together.
Wait, shut up. You're telling me that They Might Be Giants following me on Twitter today has a Jonathan Colton connection?
It might. It very well might.
That was the sound of my brain exploding. I love that so much. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Also leads perfectly into my thing for today, which is also Twitter related and has probably been a thing for a while, but has just reached like peak thing for me. And that thing is giving yourself a funny Twitter handle that overshares.
Man, even just the funny Twitter handle is kind of lost
just that
me.
Is
I'm not as, you know, I mean, yeah. Okay. Brendan Audio Smith Hutchins. I'm not going to pick on because that one's fine. That's Audio Smith, right? That's just saying, here's a little shortcut to who I am. Love that. That's great.
Right.
The ones that are like, I hate everybody you like.
Exactly. Or an increasingly political, as you might imagine. I'm looking at one right now, which I hate to I hate to call out, but you know, our Constitution makes us great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like there's all those ones.
That's actually a really good one because you kind of don't know where they're going exactly.
you don't. But then like I have a legit Twitter buddy who I really enjoy exchanging tweets with, who has changed his Twitter handle to Mike Pence's favorite strap-on.
Man.
And then I'm like, dude, I don't want to retweet you here because that's inappropriate. It's Devin Nunez. I'm just literally looking at my replies today. Devin Nunez should sue me. I want the attention.
Is someone's name on Twitter? Like, it's not their username, right? This is just the name that usually, like for me, says Tom Merritt. Or for you, says Molly Wood. And it started, I guess it started with the Halloween thing, right?
Halloween, exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Like, I know the origin story of this thing. It definitely was the Halloween thing. Where people would change their... I think I did it one time. It was like, Molly Boo. You know, you change.
Yeah, sure. It was fun once. I might have done it, maybe. I don't remember.
I did it one time. I know I did one time, and I apologize because, oh my God, oh, Rich, our producer Rich says in the Discord, oversharing Twitter handles are the new, quote, funny SSIDs.
Yes,
oh,
the funny
totally
Wi-Fi names.
You are so smart. That's exactly what it is.
That now makes me want to look at my neighborhood Wi-Fi here.
Dang it. That is freaking hilarious. But anyway, yes, it is like an epidemic on Twitter. Personally, I'm not going to engage. It's gotten a little out of hand, but it's definitely a thing.
Yeah. No, that is a thing. And I'm glad you brought it up because really, folks, think about it.
just think about whether you're ever going to get retweeted.
It was annoying on December 31st to keep seeing the Christmas ones. To me.
Oh, that's right.
It's real annoying to see your heavily politicized one months in a row.
It's just too much. And I apologize to all of you who are like just discovering this and having tons of fun with it. But oh my God.
And sure, you can say, well, screw you, Merritt, I'm gonna do it anyway. And that's fair.
Yeah,
totally fair.
Do that.
You know,
definitely
that's fine. I'm just this is my little slice of the opinion on these things is doesn't help
it's
me
not gonna...
like your account.
They're also they're so long.
Some of them.
And so then you just see, you only see like, you can't tell if nine people liked a thing. I mean, maybe I shouldn't spend this okay, I will own that I probably shouldn't spend this much time looking at my notifications. Like, that's on me. But then I see other people's retweets, and it's from the, you know, sin, holy 50 characters is unnecessary, Batman, Thea.
Well, and there's the copyright directive vote going on in Europe. So there's a no to Article 13, save your in, and then it gets cut off. I'm like, well, save your, never mind.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, here's one. Only 7% of gun owners are NRA members. Otherwise known as perfectly normal name in state is the actual username. Like, it's just is out of hand. It's out of hand. That is all. So many things, like April Fool's Day. Thank God we seem to have stamped that out online.
I used to love it, too. Like in the 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
Nope. It was ruined. And then the Halloween name's ruined Twitter. Sorry, well, everyone. Not to be like a giant old lady.
That's what ruined Twitter.
Okay, fair point. Yeah, it was totally that. Nothing else.
Nothing else. Everything was great. Yeah. May I then present my more serious and less personal thing that I've noticed?
Please do. Please do.
This started actually in a hotel when I noticed the brand Rose 31. Do you know Rose 31 by any chance?
No.
It's a brand of, I guess, cosmetics and personal care products. And so the little complimentary shampoo and lotion and all that stuff was Rose 31. And they all look like old time apothecary bottles. You know, there's no picture. It's like an old timey typeface, like it's been like hand typed. And then paste it on and describing what's in whatever it is, whether it's the perfume or the lotion or whatever. And I feel like this kind of dates back to Kiehl's. Kiehl's sort of started this ethos of like, we're like an old timey pharmacy with your beauty products. But I keep seeing it more and more, this sort of like cosmetics and beauty products and hair care products trying to look as if they're from the 1800s.
Yeah. Dude, you're totally right. That is a style.
Mm-hmm.
That's a super duper thing.
And not even just in the labels. Like sometimes the bottles themselves, I mean, the easiest one is to just do a kind of a semi-translucent brown because it looks like old brown glass. But some of them even do fake stoppers that look like the old glass stoppers, even though they're plastic.
Yep. I have totally seen that. Oh my gosh. And I'm looking actually back at Rose 31 and being like, oh yeah, totally. Mm. Yep. And this is, I feel like this is exactly the look in like a boutique-y local merchant store that just has gift things
right
for sale.
Fits right in. Totally
yep.
does. Yeah,
fits
you're right.
Fits right in. And I have seen actually, I've seen cute like do-it-yourself labels. I've even bought some
really?
For, ironically, Halloween. Have some. It says like, you know, elixir and poison and stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if like apothecary broadly could become a new style. Like, you know, we talked about maximalist becoming a style.
Right.
And apothecary is sort of like really hip, right? And really I see this apothecary like the fonts a lot in hipster restaurants on the menus.
Yeah. And there's a lot of it's almost like a steampunk thing sometimes where they've got like lots of gears and clockwork looking stuff
right.
in the restaurant and wood. I think it's anti-nostalgia. I think it's saying
really?
I don't want to choose modern, okay? But if I don't choose modern, well, there's 80s and 90s and 50s and 40s. And like, we're tired of that. We've seen that. Let's find something, a style that we just don't see anymore. It's totally yep. different. And barring small Western towns that are off the highway, that, you know, time forgot, steakhouses and such, you don't see this kind of look naturally in the environment anymore. So it's a way to stand out like, oh, this is different. We haven't seen this since before I was born.
And I'm going to say probably not for long. Like I could totally see this becoming an anti-modernist trend.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah. Anti-modernist. That's exactly the way to put it.
Mm-hmm. And actually if you put a DuckDuckGo search for like apothecary style, then you get to vintage pharmacy style, which is evidently a sub genre of apothecary style, and it's fascinating.
Oh,
fascinating.
Wow. No, you're
right. And I got straight to Pinterest.
And it's very maximalist-ish.
It kind of is. Uh-huh. Yeah. I could totally see this. I could totally see this becoming a new style. Apothecary style. We're calling it.
Yeah, because the Gen Xers, they ruined the you know, with their swing music, the 40s, you know, and
oh yeah, that's over.
Like mm-hmm. yeah, you everything that's been, could be nostalgia'd has been nostalgia'd. So if you really want to break ground, you have to go back before anybody living was born. That's what's happening.
This is awesome. Now I googled hipster apothecary. And it's basically every frickin' barbershop in the Temescal district.
Oh my gosh.
In Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have those. We definitely have those in LA too.
That is amazing. All right, before I start a Pinterest board, I'm going to keep moving. My second thing is Lambeau culture.
Of course, you mean Lambeau Field in Green Bay where the Packers. No.
Lamborghinis. Lambos. Lamborghinis. So what I really want to know, and I just haven't done this actual reporting yet for our show, is Lambo. So I don't know how many YouTube videos you watch or how many rap songs you listen to.
Very few YouTube videos, lots of rap songs.
And have you heard them all always talking about Lambos?
Yeah, Lambo does come up a lot.
Lambo comes up mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. And like
it's the new Cristal.
It's the new Cristal. It's the new Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Like for a while, it was like all about the G-Wagon. And then apparently everybody just upped their game completely to Lambo.
Yep.
And I don't know when Lambo became a thing, but it's totally a thing with YouTubers also. Like creators always make jokes about Lambos. I don't even know who fed whom in the Lambo obsession. But now it is. And so what I really want to know is like, is it even possible to sell more Lambos because they're so expensive? Or like... like, could there be more? Is there
only
a
successful YouTube star could afford a Lambo?
I guess though, but not. I mean, not really. Like, that seems insane.
Well, you know, the ones that make the $1 million off their branded deals and everything.
Oh yeah, that's true.
The 1% of YouTubers.
The 1%. It does seem like there has been kind of a long history of Lambos being referenced in pop culture. I found an article that I'm about to put in the Discord from 2012. The 50 best Lamborghini references in pop culture, including Toys in 1992, Rain Man in 1998. Mm-hmm. Maybe it got to rap through Nicki Minaj, who put it in her Massive Attack video in 2010. Oh, no. It was in Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby.
I'm bringing Lambo back.
But it's so much of a thing now.
It's, well, there's always got to be the symbol for wealth. A lot of times in rap, but even just in movies and songs in general, that's sort of like what symbolizes either an aspiration, like I'm not rich enough to own a, I'm not rich enough to drink a, and that cycles around because eventually either you just get tired of hearing that and it sounds like a cliche, or the company that sells it tries to come up with cheaper versions, right?
Right. Totally.
And suddenly Cadillac isn't the Cadillac that it used to be. That's the famous example, right? So I guess Mercedes just became tired.
It's more pedestrian.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, too many grandparents driving Mercedes around. It's let's find something else that is aspirational wealth.
Yeah, I think so. And I feel like Lamborghinis are like, they're appropriately unattainable. Like people might get wealthy enough to be able to afford a Mercedes, or a Mercedes might come down. I mean, I will say
there's the new A-class that we talked about.
My favorite. Oh yeah, that's right. And my favorite guilty pleasure breakup song is Better Now by Post Malone. And in that song, they broke up over the benzo. So he's like an everyman.
So maybe, sure. If there is one every man, it's Post Malone.
It's definitely Post Malone. Like, we can all relate. Uh-huh. What is he thinking with all the tattoos on his face? Why? So maybe it really truly is just that Lamborghinis are so reliably out of reach. But wouldn't Ferraris also be? But it's not as cool to say.
You know, that's the good question, right? When it switches, what causes everybody to switch to that thing, right? And maybe Lambo just fit the rhyme scheme better, right? Lambo sounds good.
Yeah. Oh my God. I totally found validation of Lambo culture as a giant thing, because not only has it, it is now transcended rap culture and YouTube culture, and apparently became the status brand of crypto bros.
Oh, that's kind of a canary in the coal mine indicator, isn't it?
It really is.
Like, get ready for songs to start referencing Ferraris or something else soon.
Oh, and this story, I know you guys all get tired of me doing the real-time research during the podcast, but discovering this together. Lamborghini has been reporting that sales have been rising steadily, reporting record sales in January, marking 7 consecutive years. Roughly since Nicki Minaj's video. No, just kidding. 7 consecutive years of sales growth.
The conspiracy theory says that Lambo's been going around paying these YouTubers and rap stars to reference the Lambo.
I totally wonder. But yeah, they're saying like just about every model has been featured in some kind of hip hop or rap music video. And they're for people who want to stand out and a clear sign you've made it and want everyone to know. This is from a Digiday article that I found from 2018. Because they are totally a thing. And then the crypto bro thing, that's like what they all bought once they cashed out their Bitcoin at 20
grand. Because they've been listening to that music and they're like, this is what the wealthy people get, is a Lambo.
Totally.
And then as soon as everybody sees them driving around in Lambos, suddenly everybody's like, we got to reference something else.
Oh my God. So when this article was written, the hashtags Bitcoin and blockchain were among the 10 most used hashtags within any conversation about Lamborghinis, according to Brandwatch.
Can you buy your Lambo with Bitcoin?
I mean, I don't know why not.
I mean, I'm sure you could, but like from Lamborghini, I wonder if that was a stunt.
Thanks to a rash of crypto millionaires publicly spending their Bitcoin on Lamborghinis, the Lambo has become the outward symbol for crypto bro culture. This is amazing. In 2014, a 4chan user bought a Lamborghini Gallardo with Bitcoin.
I'm going to keep my ears out for the new car that gets referenced.
Right? There's got to be a new Lambo. Like, what's going to be the new one when it's just like Lambo played? It's just a little played. Denials in our Discord points out that it's also Dr. Disrespect's ride of choice.
Mm-hmm. All right. When Sway starts driving a McLaren.
Yeah. Or Rich, our producer, suggested that the next could be Koenigsegg. But that definitely does not fit in a rap song.
That's harder. It's harder.
That.
Yeah.
That's the tough one. You really have to be a lyrical genius. Eminem could pull that off.
Sure.
Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar could work Koenigsegg. A man has a Pulitzer. He could work Koenigsegg into definitely a rap song.
Right. And I want to see what cars show up in the Sam Smith songs.
Like my vintage Jaguar E-Type from Harold and Maude that I drove over the cliff.
I go and cry in my vintage Jaguar because I was dancing with a stranger.
Oh, I want there to be like a comic book series. Can we call Scott Johnson? I want him to do a panel of comics like that just are artists and their spirit cars.
Oh, that's great.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah. I'm totally going to mention that to Scott.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And good thing we talked about cars, because apparently you guys love that.
Yeah. We're just leaning into it.
So much good email. And this was just an accident, but we got so much good email about last week's episode. Let's see. Should we dive right in? We got an email from Nick. It says, matte paint is not just a looks-based trend. In motorsports, he writes, there are two ways you can go in regards to making your car look painted. You can use what are essentially massive stickers called a wrap, which is widely used these days outside of Formula One because it's cheaper. Or apparently the Formula One teams, because they just print money, use actual paint. And he validates that there's a performance problem with a lot of the paints because it's heavy. But overall, matte paint is lighter than standard automotive paints. And then he has this whole nice long list of the history of like the Formula One Red Bull team does use matte, but others don't because they want to be lighter, and it goes on. It's really interesting. We'll have it in our website. It's a thing.me.
And then Paolo de los Reyes from our It's a Feed Patreon level said, nothing wrong with not liking IPAs. Boom. I used to be all about them, but I'm one of those 40-year-old youngsters that absolutely loves sours, more so the beer than the coffee. Actually, what I like in a sour isn't so much the tartness, but the funkiness. Definitely not a flavor profile for everyone, but I'm glad the girlfriend's starting to also enjoy them recently.
You picked a good one because yuck. No, but apparently funkiness is also a flavor that is hot with the millennials. It's really interesting. I went to this, I went to like a school auction party where we have a woman at our, or I had a woman at my old school who is a master sommelier, and she threw this like taste like a master sommelier party.
Oh, wow.
And so we, yeah, it was amazing. So we got to like taste and rate all these wines, and it was really fascinating. And there was this one wine that I was just like, God, this tastes like a combination of, like tar and like the rind of a Parmesan cheese wedge. Like it was just this really
I'm getting
funky...
notes of tar and a,
yeah.
And a heady nose of Parmesan rind.
Of cheese spunk. Like it, I did not care. And she said that actually that flavor profile was super, super popular among like 30 something.
Oh, is that because they all drink kombucha?
I bet it is.
And they're like, and they're just looking like for,
they're just looking for like different flavors that are apparently tar-like and cheese funk.
I don't know about the tar. The cheese funk is, the funky thing is making me think kombucha.
Yeah.
I don't know where the tar comes in.
The funky flavor profile is a thing. Funky flavor profile. Mm-hmm.
That was never my rap name.
No, never will be.
Wasn't, and it won't be, no.
And yeah. Finally, Mike wrote about colorizing photos to make them seem more real. Mm. And he said that this is, you know, intense. But he said that several years ago, he visited Europe and spent some time in Germany and made sure to visit Auschwitz. And he writes, at the time, what struck me most about being there was how the whole place was in color. Reddish brick, green grass, blue skies. And it made it feel that much more real and connected to the real world rather than some abstract concept from old black and white photos, which I thought was just really profound. Like, yeah, you're not going to see it until you see it. It was intense. He also says that he's been watching the rise of the matte car color for close to a decade now and doesn't think that they will ever go mainstream unless someone figures out the maintenance issues. But the dark or black rim, you're totally right, Mike. He says that came around the same time and looks super cool, like piano black rims on tires.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm still, my head's just stuck in that idea of like all of these places we see as black and white and then you visit them and they're in color, and it I can just see that messing with your perception of it, right? Because and also deepening the experience of like, wow, this looks so peaceful and green, but it sure it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that it was a real place then. It, you know, it's localizes it in your mind. Well, and that, to be honest, that's what's so profound about the colorized photos is that they have a very similar effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, there will never be a substitute, including virtual reality, for like going
there, right,
to a place and smelling the air and touching the grass. Like, that's really true. But there is something about colorizing photos that has a really similar effect where you're just like, oh, right.
Yeah.
It was real.
And then Icor in our Discord right now, actually a little bit earlier today, said, speaking of vests, everything you need to look like a venture capitalist, order a Patagonia vest.
Oh my God. At vcstarterkit.com. That's amazing. And it has a whole bunch of pictures of venture capitalists, even the lady ones wearing their vests.
All wear the vests. That's what you do.
Oh, so you get a fleece vest from Patagonia, Allbirds.
Mm-hmm.
Hysterical.
You buy a Lambo.
No, they don't buy the Lambos. Come on.
No?
You never see a VC in a Lambo.
Didn't the VC guy in Silicon Valley drive a Lambo around?
I think you're probably right. The one who's based on Peter Thiel?
Yeah.
You also get a copy of Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, and Peter Thiel's 0-1. Okay, but the thing I like about
be a Tesla.
If you buy it, then they make a donation to All Raise, which is a venture capital fund dedicated to funding underrepresented founders.
Okay.
That's actually pretty awesome and hilarious.
And on brand.
And it's like also like $500.
I will not be getting my Patagonia vest that way.
Oh, that's freaking genius. I love it. Amazing. And yes, Coyote Brown, Tesla owners for sure.
Shout out to our patrons Chaz Watson and Mike Akins at the It's a Shout Out level. Thank you for your extra extra support, and thanks to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/itsathing. Rich Stroffolino, to make your shout outs even better, pointed out that the anagrams for Chaz Watson and Mike Akins are Stanza Chow and Kink Maze.
I kink.
Oh, sorry. I left the eye out. Apologies, yep. Mike.
There's like three eyes in there. Wow. Dude, Rich is a treasure. And he's going to get like his own shout out for doing such an awesome job on our show. And also putting up with our constantly changing recording times.
Absolutely. You're a gentleman and a scholar, Rich Streffolino.
You are both of those things. Thanks again to everybody who listens and supports us on Patreon. We will see you back here next week.
Bye. I don't need no man speaking lies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.